Well, we had two people here this morning that were thanked, and I don't want to pass that opportunity up again. So the next time you see Heather or Keith, someone mentioned about how every Sunday we have a different person come up here and do the meditation, but she sits back here and tries to find a song that fits the meditation. And every week she nails it. And so next time you see Heather, embarrass her. No, tell her thanks, because when Bob Jones did that, she was up here crying because of embarrassment and the fact that someone noticed. So the other one is, you probably noticed a different drummer today. Chris Bumbelow used to drum for us when we were at the complex. When we moved up here, he drummed some for us here. And then he decided to go back to his home church. He works at Cook, and he would, on bad days, he would stop at our house and spend the night so that he didn't have to drive all the way to Bloomington where his folks lived. Well, then he got a job. He does have a job at Cook. He met Hannah. They married. They have three children. And there's a story behind why he is here, and I want to share that with you. Chris and I have, whenever we've seen each other, we continue to laugh and joke with each other. And this past summer, I saw him a lot at the ball field. And we were talking one time, and there's Hannah, and then he has the three children, Uriah, Emmett, and Everly. And Gavin was the coach of one of the teams, Gavin Wells, and Uriah played on that same team. Well, then Chris and I were laughing with each other, and we were talking church. And I had thought that they were going to a different church, and I am not a sheep stealer to where I'll tell someone, you need to leave there and come here. I don't believe in that. And so I found out that they weren't going anywhere. And as we talked, and I'm going to point her out, and she's not here. I wish she was so I could embarrass her. Anyway, Jenna Wells turned around and looked at him, and they knew each other. They're friends. She turned around and looked at Chris and says, have you tried OVCF yet? It's amazing. And every time I tell that story, I get choked up. And I texted Jenna that night, and I said, you have no idea what that meant to me. For you, who's fairly new, been here about a year, to turn around to somebody else and say, you need to try our church. And then Chris has been off and on for the last month or so because of vacation. His grandmother is dying of leukemia. Anyway, he plays drums one-handed. He can't use his right arm except to hold a stick. So if you ever sit up here, be very careful. We were at the complex and we were singing, and I happened to look down for a second, and next thing I know, here was the drumstick come flying at my feet. It had come out of his hand and flipped and landed at my feet. I looked up at him and he started bust out laughing. So you just got to be careful with Chris. That's why the shield is, no, that's not why the shield's there, but we did talk about having to protect the TV above him just in case. But anyway, if you get a chance, say, tell Chris it was good to have him, and I told him it was good to have him back. So just wanted to mention that to you. And before I get started, I wanted to say something about the announcement. I wore this T-shirt today, and it says, this pastor has an awesome congregation. I wore it for a reason. Someone gifted it to me during our anniversary celebration. To this day, I still do not know who gave this shirt to me. But they gave it to me last October when we talked about Welcome Home during September and October. And as I thought about today's announcement by Tom and Bobby, I reflected on my 19 and a half years as your pastor. Our move here in 2010 was a move of faith. Even after the devastating financial news we got in 2011, we moved on in faith. We added Ryan to our staff in 2013, and we did that by faith. We added a youth wing in the back in 2018, and we paid cash for that. That was all by faith. When that was done, we began to save toward this addition, and now 7 years later, we are moving forward in faith. We obviously aren't there yet, but we will be. We will continue to move by faith, trusting God to provide and not moving until He does. To echo my shirt, this pastor does have an awesome congregation. So thank you for being you. Thank you for continuing to focus not on buildings, but on people. Not on programs, but on people. And thank you for making this a place where people can feel welcome. And this is home. Now, as I say that, advertisement, I guess. I'm going to be offering a class. It's not really a class, an introduction to OVCF. And it's going to follow the second service. We're going to provide lunch for whoever does it. And it's going to last about an hour or so. And it's going to be very informal. It's going to be, we're going to sit around with questions and answers. I have written up a study, but it's mostly for people's information. It's not going to be a lecture at all. I want to be very informal. The first one is going to be September 14th. I've tried to avoid the summer because it's trying to do something in the summer is like trying to pull teeth. So I just want to ask you if you are interested in knowing more about OVCF, and you could have been here for years and say, you know, I'd like to really know what we believe and all that, please feel free to plan to come to that class. There is no limit at this point. I may have to eventually cut it off, say, at 10 or 12 people, and then say, we'll have another one. But I plan on doing it once a quarter, and so that kind of gives you an idea. All right, let's get started. You can see that we're in Proverbs chapter 19 through Ecclesiastes chapter 8. For those of you who are not aware, we are going through a devotion called Everyday Gospel Devotion by Paul David Tripp. My sermon on Sunday is based on what we read all week long. And so I gave away the last of the devotion books today. If you would like to have one, I can find a way to purchase it, and just let me know. Or you can order on Amazon yourself and get it quicker. You can pick it up July 20th, which is today, and then begin reading till next Sunday sermon. So just kind of let you know about that. Well, let's pray, and then we'll get started. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the unsung heroes who week in and week out do your work, and we don't even realize it. We sit here during communion, and Heather plays. We listen to our worship team sing, and they sing their hearts out to you. We watch a PowerPoint, and we see that, and we hear voices because of our sound people. We see teachers in the back who every week are teaching our children. We see people cleaning up afterwards, especially our young people who are so good about cleaning up and picking things up for us and getting them where they need to go. That's because the church is the body, and we all take a part in that. And I want to thank you for that. And I want to thank you for the folks who are involved and who want to make this a home for other people because they have found a home themselves. But Lord, we also need to study your word, and we need to make sure that we are pursuing those things that matter. The message this morning is a hard one to hear sometimes, but we need to hear it, and then we need to apply it. And so as I bring this message, may we understand, and may we be able to say, Lord, speak to me, show me where I need to change. And then, Father, as I bring a message, would you help us to see Jesus? And Jesus only. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. Excuse me a minute. One of the most popular games in the 80s, and yes, I know many of you were not even born back then, was a board game called Trivial Pursuit. Some of you may have played it. Some of you may know it. Some of you may say, what is that? The peak, and I looked this up, the peak of Trivial Pursuit was 1984, when over 30 million games were sold. And here's how it worked. And I asked Linda to give me a couple. She gave me one. It was Power Rangers. She gave me one. It was Mickey Mouse. So she gave me one that has both adults and kids. But it tells a story. Well, that's okay. It was just a dice, and I don't play dice. Anyway, thank you. If you can see this, this is how the board was set up. And it was set up with four or six different divisions. There was entertainment, geography, arts and literature, history, sports and leisure, and science and nature. And the way it operated is each person got a piece, and that was like this, okay? Inside this piece were six wedges. So let's suppose that you roll the dice and you land on science and nature. I hated that subject. Anyway, you landed on science and nature and you got the question correct. You got a little wedge and then you got to put it inside your piece here. And the goal was to fill your piece with all six of those wedges. Now, I did really well with entertainment and history and sports and leisure. I tanked on science and nature, geography, and arts and literature. They were not my favorites. And but anyway, we used to play a lot with Joe's late sister and her brother, Bob. And anyway, we don't play it anymore. But here are some of the here's one of the questions from an adult, and one of the questions, since this is a children's version, for the kids' version. Okay, I'm going to ask this question. Someone was upset that I did not give you a chance to answer this question. Okay, here's the question, and it's under entertainment. What kind of animal are Twilight Sparkle, Pinkie Pie, and Rainbow Dash? Go ahead, Macy. I looked at it and I thought, what names are those? They're My Little Ponies. Now, a kid would know that. Or Macy. But I don't. Okay, but here's another one. This is from the adult one. This is from geography. If you live in Tahiti, you're a citizen of France, true or false? True. So you would get a wedge if you did that. Now I realize you didn't come today to learn how to play Trivial Pursuit. Linda wanted to continue to play, but I told her, no, we can't do that, Linda. Anyway, the point that I'm trying to make is, sadly, there are many people that's the lead title on their lives. Their lives are guided by trivial pursuits. Pursuits that neither matter nor satisfy. The book of Proverbs, as we have already seen it, is a book of practical advice. It tells you how to get to the path and how to stay on the path. The book of Ecclesiastes is a book of trivial pursuits. It's a story of Solomon, who, even though he was the wisest man in the world, spent his time chasing things that didn't matter. So what I want to do today is I want to start out with a life of emptiness, which is the life of pursuing trivial things. And then I want to go backwards to a life of fulfillment. So we're going to start with Ecclesiastes. And if you have a Bible and you want to turn there, we're going to spend a little bit of time there. We'll come back to it, and we'll also go to Proverbs. So let's start, first of all, with a life of emptiness. And Ecclesiastes begins with an interesting refrain in verse 2. It says, everything is meaningless, says the teacher, completely meaningless. Now, other translations, one translation will say vanity of vanities, all is vanity. The New American Standard 2020 version says futility of futilities, all is futility. I think it likes that word. But no matter how you say it, Solomon the writer is declaring the sum of all our existence is meaningless. The word vanity is an important word to understand. The Hebrew word refers to a breath or vapor. It's like kind of like a puff of smoke rising from a fire or a cloud of steam that comes out of our mouth when it's cold outside, which none of us have a clue what that's like anymore. But here's what Solomon is saying. He is saying that life is elusive. Like a wisp of breath, it appears and then it's gone. And he's making a comment about the transience of life that's here today, gone tomorrow. But he asks a question in verse 3. So look at verse 3. It says, what do people get for all their hard work under the sun? That's an interesting question, if you ask me. What does a man gain by all the work that he does under the sun? The word get, or if you might have a translation, it says gain, literally means profit or advantage. So it's saying, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Does that sound like somebody you know? Well, maybe this will help out. If there is no God, if there is no afterlife, if there is no final judgment, then life is meaningless. If a person can live any way, here's the point. If a person can live any way he or she wants to live and there are no consequences, then why not live any way that you want to? Right? Remember the story that Jesus told, and this is the reference that I was going to make earlier. Jesus told a parable about a rich man. The rich man decided he was going to tear down his barns and he was going to build bigger barns. And then he said, eat, drink, and be merry. Now Epicurus, the Greek philosopher, added another phrase to that. Eat, drink, and be merry for what? Tomorrow you may perish. When Jesus answered, he didn't say, well, it's life is meaningless. He did say, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So when you read the first four chapters of Ecclesiastes, it's like reading the journal of somebody who sees life, experiences life, and says, what's the use? It's all worthless. And in his eyes, life was empty. Now, we're talking about the smartest man in the world. We're talking about Solomon, who is known as the wisest man in the world, and yet he was so unwise in his choices. And what he does in the book of Ecclesiastes to say, I tried everything, and it's all meaningless. Let me kind of close out this thought by saying this. We will never find satisfaction. We will never find fulfillment if we think for a moment, a second, that it's found by looking horizontally. We will never find our fulfillment and satisfaction if all we do is look this way. It's not until we start looking this way that we find the meaning to life and the satisfaction that we deserve or that we desire. So let's talk about this life of fulfillment. I don't know how many of you have seen The Lord of the Rings. In The Return of the King, which is the final installment of The Lord of the Rings, it comes almost to the end. Sam and Frodo have been through pain and agony, plus Frodo has been carrying the extra baggage of the ring. And he's done. He's wiped out. They're at the foot of Mount Doom, and he doesn't want to go on. And he just wants to quit. Well, Sam hitches up his pants. Well, not literally, but that's what he does. He hitches up his pants, and he yells to Frodo, come, Mr. Frodo, I can't carry it, which is the ring, but I can carry you. And so he picks Frodo up, and he carries him up to Mount Doom, where Frodo is supposed to dump the ring to destroy it. From our earliest days, we are taught by our parents, by our coaches, by our teachers, by our friends, by our relatives, that you can do this. You got this. And I'm going to talk about this in a couple of weeks in a message. I don't know how many times I heard, don't quit. don't give up, especially in sports. Now, granted, there is something to be said for perseverance and not giving up. And my competitive streak in sports would not allow me to give up because I was taught the game is never over until what? The last out. The game is never over until the buzzer sounds. And that served me well in sports, but it carried over into my Christian faith, where I began to think that my Christian faith was determined by my performance. And it didn't wear well. And for years, I lived with this albatross around my neck that said, perform, perform, perform. Never quit. Never give up. You can do this. And especially when I got this misunderstanding of Philippians 4:13 running into my head. But you see, even something good can turn out bad. And so, like many others, I hitched up my pants, I pulled up my bootstraps, I tightened my belt, and I said, I'm going to labor on in my own strength. There is one problem with that. It's one word, disaster. I came to realize that there is a difference between a life laboring to please God and the life God intended me to live. And hitching up my belt, pulling up my bootstraps was not the best way to do that. What I really needed to do was lay myself at the feet of Jesus and trust his rock-solid promises that are found in his word. So what I want to do for the rest of the morning is I want to just ask a question. What is a fulfilled person? And there are seven answers to that that I want to take you. And we're going to look at some scriptures too, so you don't have to take my word for it. Number one, fulfilled people listen to wise instruction, especially the word of God. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 17 through 21, it says, listen to the words of the wise, apply your heart to my instruction. For it is good to keep these sayings in your heart and always ready on your lips. Verse 19 is important. I am teaching you today, yes, you, so you will trust in the Lord. Do you see anything in there about so you will trust in yourself? No. He says, I've written 30 sayings for you filled with advice and knowledge. In this way, you will know the truth and take an accurate report to those who sent you. It tells us the importance of listening to wisdom. And it speaks directly so that we can learn to trust God. It tells us why these lessons are given to us. It tells us why God's word is given to us so that we might learn to trust. Second thing about fulfilled people is that they fear the Lord. We read in Proverbs a lot the phrase, the fear of the Lord or fear God. Proverbs 19, verse 23 says, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Remember, fear of the Lord is not being afraid of God. It's being in awe of God. You see the difference? It's not being afraid of God, but it's being in awe of God. We talked about that last week a little bit more in depth, and so I'd encourage you to check that out if you want to. Fulfilled people, third, associate with wise people. Picking and hanging around the wrong friends, and I hope young people, you especially listen, can and only will lead to disaster. A life of fulfillment is found and the right friends. Let's go backwards for a moment to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. It says, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get into trouble. Can you get any plainer than that? So it says, pick your friends wisely, especially young people. But even as adults, we need to pick our friends wisely. We need to find godly friends, and we need to hang around them. We need to find friends who pick us up, not drag us down. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. It says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other one can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. How can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two standing back to back can conquer. Three are even better because the triple braided cord is not easily broken. The picture there you get is of two army men, battle warriors, who are back to back fighting, protecting each other's back. One of the sayings that Diana will often say is, I got your back. I'm glad she has my back because I do stupid stuff. But she's got my back. Why? Because she's protecting me. We associate with wise people. You associate with wise people, you become wiser. Number four, fulfilled people flee from sin. Psalm 101 is a scripture that I've used before. It basically says, I'll keep my eyes peeled while I'm at home. I'll be careful what I watch. I'll be careful what I say. Number five, fulfilled people bridle their tongue. You know, we used to say that when a preacher preaches, he's preaching, but when he talks about stuff like this, he's meddling. So I'm going to meddle. Many lives have been ruined by unwise words being said. Let's look at a few verses. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 18. Proverbs 25, verse 18. Telling lies about others is as harmful as hitting them with an axe, wounding them with a sword, or shooting them with a sharp arrow. That's pretty graphic, isn't it? Okay, let's move to chapter 26. There are three verses there. Verse 20. Fire goes out without wood, and quarrels disappear when gossip stops. Verse 23. Smooth words may hide a wicked heart, just as a pretty glaze covers a clay pot. And then verse 28. A lying tongue hates its victims, a flattering words cause ruin. So you see, we have to be careful with what we say. We have the ability to pick someone up or to tear them down. We can lie or we can tell the truth. Sixth, fulfilled people are contented people. Living the life that God has prepared for us leads to fulfillment. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 18 through 20 says this. Even so, I have noticed one thing at least, and that is good. It's good for people to eat, drink, and enjoy their work under the sun during the short life God has given them and to accept their lot in life. And it's a good thing to receive wealth from God and a good health to enjoy it. To enjoy your work and accept your lot in life, this is indeed a gift from God. God keeps such people so busy enjoying life that they take no time to brood over their past. The scripture is basically saying a contented person is a happy person, I guess is the best way to put it. It's a joyful person. It tells us that contented people are fulfilled people. Contentment does not depend on your circumstances. It depends on your state of heart. I'm going to say that again. Contentment does not depend on your situation or your circumstances. Contentment depends on your state of heart. Chapter 23 of Proverbs, verses 4 and 5. He says, don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Be wise enough to know when to quit In the blink of an eye, wealth disappears, for it will sprout wings and fly away like an eagle. That's rather descriptive, isn't it? And then one last thing. Fulfilled people realize their limitations at God's expense. And what I mean by that is they realize that God is the ultimate giver of all things. He gives wisdom. He gives life. He gives fulfillment. He gives joy. And we can go on and on. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 16 and 17 is the last scripture we'll read. Solomon says this, "In my search for wisdom and in my observation of people's burdens here on earth, I discovered that there is ceaseless activity day and night. I realize that no one can discover everything God is doing under the sun. Not even the wisest people discover everything, no matter what they claim." So what Solomon basically is saying is pursue wisdom. We will never know all of God's doings. We will never understand all of God's doings. How many times, as we talked a few weeks ago, have we asked the question, why? The point is, we may never know the why, but what we can know is that God is faithful and that God's promises will never change. God's presence will never leave us. God's truth will always be there. So, instead of pursuing trivial things that don't matter, why not pursue those things that really do matter? Instead of trying to find our satisfaction here, let's find our satisfaction here. Let's be vertical people and not horizontal people. Let's realize that those things that are here, they won't last. They will wear away. They will dry up. In fact, as Proverbs says, they'll fly away. But the things this way, they'll last forever. That's my prayer for you. My prayer for you when you go to work this week is that you will have contentment. That if you see somebody who is discontented, who is miserable, that you can say, you know, I know the source of contentment. Let me tell you about him. But until we ourselves realize that we cannot find satisfaction here, our words will be empty. So my prayer is for you to find the fulfillment that comes in Christ. The fulfillment that comes from pursuing God and him getting hold of your life and saying, here, I'm with you. That's my prayer for you this week. Let's pray. And then I have a question, a favor to ask, and then we'll do some scripture. Father, would you go with us this week? Would you help us to begin our own personal examination of saying, what am I pursuing? And help us to pursue you and not things of this earth. Help us not to pursue trivial things that will not last. Help us not to be like the man in Jesus' parable who said, eat, drink, and be merry. I'm going to tear my barns down. I'm going to build bigger barns. And then, as Jesus said, tonight your soul's required. And then what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So help us to pursue you. To pursue the contentment that comes from you, the fulfillment that comes from you, the peace that comes from you. And then help us to share that with somebody else. Go with us this week. I pray that you'll help us as we have our interactions with people, that they will see a contentment in us that they want. Thank you for loving us, Lord. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we read our scripture, I have a favor to ask. We are hosting the Celebration of Life on Tuesday night from 5 to 7. I need to have these chairs moved and tables brought in for a catered meal they're going to have and also places for them to sit. Ryan is out of town. Diana has tomorrow off, so that wipes out. And then that leaves Tuesday that Diana and I would have to do all of that. If you could help out, that would be greatly appreciated. So after our scripture, we need to kind of, these chairs can stay the same, just kind of move them aside, bring some tables in, and then we'll need to move all the back there and put long tables back there, okay, for food. I'd appreciate if you would help out. If you have to go, don't worry about it. I'll just haunt you. Anyway, I'd appreciate if you would help. So here's our scripture. Let's read it together. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power to work within you to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for your help that you're going to give me, and thanks for being here with us today. If you have to go, that's fine.